We are locked and loaded and we are ready to blow. Fucking 2-0 against United in the next leg to come. It's the Day Trippers! Good evening. We're back again in the bunker. And yes, indeed, we've just witnessed a fantastic 2-0 win against Manchester United. And then we had a weekend off. I'm sure you all got up to great things and exciting things and get sort of kill those nerves before we look ahead to that second leg on Thursday, where we hopefully wrap up the job and secure our place in the last day of the Europa League. Because it is only a draw, win, draw, win, draw, win until we're in the Champions League again if we want to do it by the Europa. Coming up tonight, of course, we discussed the match that was, we discussed the match that's coming, and of course we'll have some Trippers chats, and I'm sure we'll wander off topic on many different occasions and talk about loads of other stuff as well. Tonight in the bunker, we've got our returning Scouse Maestro, Jay Holm. We've got returning Westside Scouse Maestro, Ray Brady. And we have the man behind the Twitter account, of course, we have Mr. Neil Gray. Hopefully he's in on his best behaviour tonight, so it doesn't take me 4 hours to edit this bloody pod. So, where do we start? You could start with that was one of the worst United performances you've ever seen at Anfield in your life. Or you could also start that was one of the most impressive club performances you've seen with Liverpool so far under him. It was just, there was very few bad points, right?
Yeah, well, it was more the same as with the Premier League game, though. That's what was my concern. United were as bad that game and ended up robbing us and walking away with the 3 points. So it was still a fear with me. Having Rooney out of the team, I thought was huge, in my eyes anyway. Because he has that little bit of drive when the shit's against the wall. He's the type of player that can pull something out of the bag. Even when he's playing bad, he can still do that. So I thought we dominated pretty much from start to finish. 10 to 15 minutes in the start of the second half, they got on top, and the substitution was made instantly by Klopp when he seen them getting on top a small bit. And Joe Allen was brilliant when he came on. All round, brilliant performance. De Gea totally kept him in it, only for a fucking fucked up fax machine in Madrid. We would have won that match about fucking 7-0. Totally dominant to him. Great performance. I'm not fully confident as in 100% we're true, but we're 1 foot in.
Southampton then, is it?
Not the fucking second.
Nilo.
Yeah, well, rat it now. Well, I can't. Just take my cock out. It's funny because it's all balls.
Look at that woman with the wart. Oh, sorry, Neil.
No, rather than constant, like that post match analysis was all about how United, how bad they were, and because it was dominated by Scholes having a meltdown, which was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, which is just brilliant. But anyway, apart from that, rather than concentrating on Liverpool rather than them. It was that one performance that you get in a season where everybody's averaging 8, 9 out of 10. Well, I mean, there was no one below that. Everybody was, well, apart from the goalkeeper, that's just because he's a prick. But apart from that, now everybody was 8, 9 out of 10, right from front to back, and it was great to see it. And what was most impressive for me was it was the players who had been underperforming. It was like a coming of age for them after 3 or 4 months with the new manager and his ideas. United were so bad, his ideas could develop on the pitch, and you could really see it all coming together. And specifically Lallana, I was most impressed by him. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. I thought he was man of the match, in my opinion. More for man of the match, more for his, how much his performance level had increased from previous games, rather than just that 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was that occasion where everything went perfectly. Mm-hmm. Everything clicked. Mm-hmm. And it should have been a higher scoreline, apart from David De Gea, which is, he's a fantastic goalkeeper. Just goes to show the value of a good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But yeah, great times.
Jay,
it's weird because I think it was like, to echo what Neil said there, it was perfect in a lot of ways. It was very similar to a lot of games that we've played against United, though, because we often outplayed them. Mm. But the difference is we don't take our chances, and then they'll sucker punch us at the end. I think it was great to see the front lads. We're linking up, running them ragged, the pressing from, across the pitch. We just never let them settle. Mm. And they tried to sort of readjust that by bringing on Carrick to get a bit of control in the game. And I just don't think we let them get any type of foothold. I was a little bit nervous, actually, when I looked at the team sheet and I saw the front three that they went with, because there was a lot of pace and a lot of movement. And I thought that that could have potentially sort of let them get in behind us and stretch the pitch a little bit. But from the word go, we looked assured. We were on it. The crowd were absolutely fantastic. It was the perfect storm. I think Neil was right there. That the front lads for Firmino now is looking like an absolute world beater. And I think he sort of sets the tempo from the front for the rest to follow.
That's Phil just patting himself on the back there for the Firmino.
Massive pat on the back, Phil. Yeah, you're great. It's great, Phil, isn't he?
Phil, on the fields of Germany with a sheepskin jacket.
Yeah. That was some scouting expedition to Cologne, all right, wasn't it? Yeah.
Or naked.
Was it football as we were scouting?
I'm going to see Horn. Timo Horn.
Yeah. Not that type of Horn, Neil, put it away.
Not again. Sorry, Politoi.
I think, speaking about the front three, the two lads, Can and Henderson, just clicked.
Yeah.
It just seemed to all fall. Like, I know I was saying it fell into place for everybody, but particularly for those two. I mean, the dynamic between them, it seemed to old school, one goes and one stays, isn't it? I mean, it's really odd. I mean, it's not breaking, it's splitting the atom there. But that just seemed to happen naturally rather than it being forced upon them. They just seemed to work. The dynamic between them seemed to be perfect. And, I hope that's going to be a regular pattern. That remains to be seen. But it just seemed, now I know they weren't up against much in midfield because they were dreadful. But at the same time, it just did. It just seemed to click perfectly.
Well, I don't know about not being up against much midfield, because you could see, well, for me anyway, I thought Van Gaal set out to stifle any real movement from Channing Henderson, from the three behind Sturridge. And it just failed because the movement was so good. They pressed and hurried him so well that they literally, where they should have been in a dominant position, which is in front of their back four and you know, pushing on, they just weren't able to deliver because they were being pulled all over the shop. It was just great movement. The one thing I will say, and I don't know if anybody feels this way, since Coutinho's come back for injury, for me anyway, he has looked a bit peripheral to what's going on. It's almost like the team has evolved in his absence. And again, going back to the Firmino show, it's now where before we always looked to Coutinho as the magician, as the man to do something to drive the team onwards. It's now the team are looking to Firmino because he's relentless in his play. You know, even if it's a bad touch, he's the first in to try and make up for the bad touch. When the ball goes forward, he never lets the defender sit in the ball. He always goes and presses the opposition.
And that's the key thing, because Suarez used to do that. Mm. And the whole team takes their shape off that first press of Firmino going for the ball. And then the second
press. It's a natural thing with him, isn't it?
And the team are now... And the key thing, what you just said there, like we're not totally centred around Coutinho now. And I'd say even towards Sturridge now as well. Mm. The emphasis has totally gone off. Oh, Sturridge is back fit. We need to play Sturridge. For me now as well, I'd even in some games be looking to start Origi, because I think, you know, we'll probably come onto it in a little bit at Old Trafford. To get in behind defences and stretch and create more space, which sometimes can happen when you've got that sort of three players interchanging in behind the striker. If you've got somebody that's looking to go beyond and drag defenders, you've seen within the 10, 15 minutes he was on, United couldn't live with him. So we've now got options in Sturridge, who, if he gets a chance, invariably scores. He's the best natural finisher, in my opinion, out of the forward lads. You've got Firmino, who works his spuds off and has got real quality and can finish and bring people into play. And then you've got Origi, who's just got sheer pace and power. So between them, and then if you want a real aerial threat, you've got Benteke. So
all options covered.
For once, you know, for the first time in a long time, you've got a lot of options there that we can change a game.
Origi's pace now is actually, like, I know you hear this about players, oh, he's fast, and we hadn't really seen it then at the start. He was only playing bit part and then injured, of course, but his pace was actually, like, I had no idea he was that fast. He was giving fellas 10 yards and catching up and putting pressure around, stopping balls, getting to the byline, and that like you say, that is huge.
He seems to have pulled away from as well. And I think this sort of stems from confidence. I always bang this drum because it's such an important factor in football. You see it now with Lovren, you see it now with Lallana. These are people that were completely written off. You know, people spoke about them that they couldn't actually play football, and they're clearly showing
they can.
I'd be
one of them.
Origi's the same. You know, and confidence in football, it just makes footballers, when they overthink things, invariably make mistakes or choose the wrong option. Whereas if they play on instinct, they'll do the right things and use the ability that's got them to where they are. Yeah. So you can see now, when they get the ball, they want the ball. Origi wants it. He'll knock somebody off the ball and burst past them, and that's good to see.
Mm. I just worried about how fragile it all is, you know what I mean? Because it's not so long ago we were shit. Mm. Like, it's only... It's only 3 or 4 weeks ago. I know we tend
Wait
to
burst me bubble, mate.
Yeah, not what I'm really good at that.
Just yank that rogue down here.
But I am with it. It has to be a worry because it's only like we've won 3 or 4 games in a row. And like, you wonder if we go down a goal in a game or if we lose a game, is it just going to revert back to type? Because although, like you were saying, confidence is so important, but it is a very fragile thing as well. And unless that confidence is built up over a number of years or a number of seasons, that it's intrinsically, it's inside you, you know how good you are. I mean, I think ours is a bit fragile at the minute. So I'm worried that we'll revert back to type, and type up to 3 weeks ago has been shit.
If you look at where we were, and you're making a good point, if you look at where we were, you know, 6-7 games ago, any cross that come into the box, we were shitting ourselves and we thought we were going to concede. We invariably never came back from a losing position. Mm. These aren't things that have changed overnight, but you can see it starts to come through. We've turned around, you know, we've gone a goal down, we've come back and won a game. We never do that. Mm. Liverpool, we hardly ever do that. So you can start to see now Klopp is... making these lads believe in themselves. Mm. I don't think it's going to be a quick fix, and we will probably drop a bollock before the end of the season because we've got a lot of youngsters who are prone to having two good games, one bad game. The consistency isn't there yet, but I think if we sprinkle in a bit of quality and you know, starting quality over the summer,
I think
that will help,
we would be remiss to think that the performance on Thursday is going to be the same as the performance we got last Thursday. It's not, because you're not going to click 8-9 out of 10 two games in a row. It's not going to happen.
For me, bizarrely, there's one key moment in the game. It happens after 15 seconds. And your man, Rushford, whatever his name is, the guy who played up front for United, gets a chance outside the box from 3 yards or 6 yards after 15 seconds.
That's right.
And he misses it. That goes into the net, and it's a completely different game. We're chasing our tails for a whole match.
Which we lose them 1-0 then, Phil, as opposed to being 0-0.
But they are moments that change
the
game. You know what I mean? Like, the conversation completely hinges on that thing, because instead of us being able to not so much sit in and find our rhythm and find where we want to play and sort of probe at them and get them to move around and create the spaces that we want to operate in, all of a sudden we don't have to worry about being a goal down. We don't have to go and press the match. We don't have to go and push the tie, because they've got an away goal, so you need to get at least an equaliser, another score on the board. And that fundamentally changes the game. And that goes back to your point now. While we were able to do what we did to Crystal Palace in the league, we got that bit of luck that day in terms of being able to get back into the game despite going down to 10 men. And then we get to deserve a penalty at the end. When you look at the United game, because it's a European tie and away goals count, you know, it's a completely different game going 1-0 down and winning 2-1 there. You've won nothing in that instance. Mm. You're still in a dangerous position.
It's still in the back of my mind that all those saves that De Gea made could play a part. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
Jesus, it's weird.
As much about crediting them, they were like, I mean, of course, Coutinho's miss was bleeding.
It was catastrophic. Why didn't he go with his left? I don't understand why he went.
De Gea done great getting across. I'm not having that. I instantly blamed.
My rationale for why he went with the right instead of left is his body movement was moving towards the goal line. If he waits for it to come across his body, he's narrowing the angle all the time.
He still could have done better with his right, I think.
Instead, he flicks it with the right, knowing that his right's closer and in front of the goal, and all he has to do is get on target. 99 times out of 100, it goes in the net. But it was a poor execution of the flick as well.
All he needed to do, really, was block the ball with his left foot. Because the motion of the ball was coming towards him. He just literally needed to block his foot, and it probably would have got it. Mm.
If he's going with the type of strike he does, he has to get plenty of elevation so that if De Gea does get across, that he has no chance of getting to it. Instead, it was a timid effort that was more about security, about getting it on goal, than one of conviction that says that this is going into the back of the net no matter what way. Yeah.
The key in games now, like I'm seeing with Liverpool now, in games they go in waves, particularly at Anfield. You know, the first 20, you know, 10, 15 minutes, we'll press, we'll harry. We had so much of the ball, but we didn't get the break. And then what you'll find, you'll have a lull then for 5 or 10 minutes. The difference is now we look quite solid when we have our lulls. Do you know what I mean? Whereas United could come back into the game and get a bit of impetus once we dipped our levels because we've been running and not scoring. we look a lot more solid as a team now. We don't. I don't feel like we look like we're going to concede goals. Yeah,
well, like I said, I thought, not so much a lull, but I thought it took us sort of about 10, 15 minutes of the game to get into our stride. It never looked like, and now you've said that one brief chance they had, but in general, they didn't really do one. But it just took us a while to just get the, you know, we're getting up to the halfway line, no problem. And then it just all started, it slowly clicked. And from there on, then we just, you know, destroyed them.
I think that's all to do with having a big squad, with having more players in the squad available. Like you were saying, Ray, like in the second half, and they had their spell 10, 15 minutes into the second half. Klopp changed it immediately, but he had the options on the bench to change it immediately. You know what I mean? Take off a four, bring on Allen, and sit and try tighten things up a little bit. Whereas a couple of months ago, with them options weren't available. So we're kind of just playing as long as much as we can. So it's as much of confidence and everything else as it is of having a squad available as well.
Do you think Joe Allen's played himself into a new deal? Do you think he'll stay?
No, not for 10 minutes.
Think he's gone?
No, I think he's serving a purpose for Klopp this season. And with the likes of Grujic, and you heard Klopp today talking
about Alan.
About Alan Rodriguez.
He was glowing about him, wasn't he?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
What was he saying?
He said he's deadly. He said
he basically wanted him in the first team now until he got told about sort of work permit rules and...
Okay.
So that's why we have to send him abroad to get a certain amount of games
in Europe, yeah. Okay. And then he can get in there.
And he's been called up to the Brazil under 20 team, which will have an impact on him getting a work permit as well. Because he's seen as an outstanding talent, you know, young talent, which they can apply for the permit as well. But that's why I don't think Alan has, and it's the same reason why I can't see Lucas staying here at the end of the season. I don't think he has a future, to be honest with you. I think the stats that backed them up was we've played 23 without him and we've won 12 and drawn 11, lost none, and all the games we've lost he's played.
But that's a fucking boxy stat of your Lucas. No, <it's, laughs> imagine this prick is starting.
Fuck.
Someone get down the bookies quick. Someone get down the bookies.
He's having a great game at centre back. Peter, we're losing 4-0. Yeah.
Well, nobody goes to bookies anymore, by the way. They don't have Paddy Power, don't they? All of my someone go to bookies.
I went into one today.
Did you?
Jammers.
No way.
Cheltenham.
Cheltenham, isn't it?
Yeah. It's different though. You have to go in on Cheltenham.
Dan wasn't there on the sofa, was he? Oh,
yeah. Slippers.
Slippers.
Like, a rope around. Dan was off.
In his mouth area.
Feeding them grapes. And yeah.
Best paying customer here. Hasn't had a winner in 14 years.
He talks a good game though.
Put six of our kids through college. Yeah. Just his betting alone. But yeah, no, look, going back to the match. The penalty. It was a good move, a great ball by Firmino to Klein inside. I suppose one of the things that we mentioned when we were talking about during the game was that Klein seemed a much more attacking threat than he had for a while down that right hand flank.
Well, I've been saying it but within our WhatsApp group when everyone was sort of, you know, singing his praises, and he is 9 out of 10 as a defender, as a right full, but I just expected that little bit more from him up the top end. Just me, you know, when I was saying this to people, they were saying, no, he's doing great, and I was saying, just at the top end, I just think he gets to the box and he seems to run out of ideas, doesn't know what to do or whatever. But I thought the other night now he was absolutely brilliant, and that's all I could ask for him, because down at the right end of the pitch, for his right end of the pitch, we say, while he's defending, he's majestic. So to see him sort of coming up top end and doing that, brilliant.
I'm kind of with Ray there. Like when we signed him, I was delighted, and I was kind of expecting a little bit more from him going forward. I don't think it was ever in question that he's a solid defender. I've kind of been vocal when it comes to fullbacks on Twitter, because I first and foremost want defenders to be able to defend. I think if they can attack, I think it's a bonus. But I think with Klein, he is defensively switched on. He very rarely gets pulled out of position or made to look a mug, I should say, on a 1v1. And it was nice to see the other night that he was starting to have more of an attacking threat. I think, again, it sort of stems down to confidence. He seems to be, you know, flourishing now in the last few games. I think when you compare that to Moreno, I think he's the opposite.
It's the exact opposite. The exact opposite.
Defensively, he isn't very aware. He gets caught out of position a lot. I think he makes those situations, he recovers those situations well because of his pace. But for me, what he adds going forward, or he supposedly adds going forward, is counteracted massively by the fact that he kind of has a few brain farts.
In his defence, he played very well against United. And
that was one of his best games. Yeah.
The mad tackles disappeared, which was like, oh, it was amazing.
He attempted one, and I think he didn't win one. I just have no idea. It's like a Chun-Li kick from Street Fighter with the way he does it.
there was one. I was waiting for the big ninja jump to happen.
From the wrong side. With the hook fork backwards. I'm like, where are you taught that? He didn't lay that in fucking concrete at the back of the shops anyway.
Street fighter.
Yeah. It was a sand pit, something comfortable. You know?
But and he was running down. I kept thinking, well, what Steve said last week when he said, he's so fast, he could actually run the extra half yard and just nick the ball away and come away with it. And I was waiting for it, and it didn't happen. And he actually did what I was like going, must listen to the pod.
Yeah.
I definitely listen. Definitely.
Big fan of the pod.
See, the thing is, it's not that I don't like him. I want him to come good like I do with all Liverpool players. It's just, I see too many little errors and wrong choices from him that drop us in the shit. Mm. And that's the, and if you could see them improving and stopping and being coached, and you can see he's more defensively aware, I'd be like, okay, that makes me feel better, because he has the tools to be a good player. Mm. He just doesn't have the brain yet.
Mm. He's solid. He's really solid on the ball. He looks like a good footballer. His passing's perfect. He knows when to touch. He knows when to go. It is literally
knows when to hold.
Yeah,
well, knows when to fold.
Yeah. What did I say? You know what I mean?
That's in my head now. That's the end of
it. But
you can
sit at the table.
No way in the world. No way in the world.
Is it the beer?
No way in the world.
And your money when you're sitting at
guess
the table.
Guess we have the intro now, lads.
When the game's done.
Thanks for that, lads. Right, I'm sitting here loaded.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why does that, right?
I'm going to see if I don't say the C word.
Country.
Yeah.
That was it. Anyway, look, the one concern I had off the United game was, again, I thought Sturridge doesn't look anywhere near the player he was. And his touch and all is still there, but he's definitely, for me anyway, he doesn't have that explosive pace that he had before the injury.
If you can get players in and around him to do the little short turn, like little touches. Him and Coutinho seem completely on the same wavelength. Firmino a little bit. I don't know. I kind of touched on it before with Origi. We look more of a dynamic team and a dangerous team when Firmino starts centrally or Origi starts centrally, because we push their defence back and create more space, whereas Sturridge, he just floats in and around the same. He never looks to go past the shot, you know, over the shoulder, through it. He never really does that. So we kind of look a little bit blunted. I felt like, and you said it before, right, like first 10, 15 minutes, it was all huff and puff to a point, and then there was no penetration at all. And I kind of think that stems from him. But he's still a fucking unbelievable finisher.
Yeah, you'd still, he might want the penetration.
All huff and puff and no better race. I'm thinking to myself, I've been there a million fucking times. How did I usually get out of that one? You put it out, I want. It's usually how I get out. Am I wasting me time here? All right, fair enough.
Yeah, sorry about that, mister.
But in fairness, the penalty.
You gotta know.
Oh God, fuck you.
Who sings that?
Listen, Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
The penalty, going back to what he does do well, he puts that away clinically. It's a great penalty. The guy goes the right way and just.
Do you think it's a great penalty?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he. I don't know.
I think because of pressure, he was under everybody.
Pressure was under.
Mid height ones.
But I'll tell you one.
I don't like lefties on penalties anyway.
There was enough pace in it.
Yeah.
That once he got that in the right zone, which he just about did, there was nothing stopping that one.
He took that because of the grief he got.
Said the same thing. As soon as I see him standing at the ball, that's him now at the same.
You know, he's not great at penalties, though. Like, no. People were going mad about Henderson and Sturridge not taking penalties. They're not good at them. So,
he missed one against Everton one time, didn't he?
I honestly don't get it. For if someone that can do what he does with a football and cannot score from 12 fucking yards out and not want to score from 12 yards
and
out.
And he strikes the ball so clean as well.
It's cringy for a striker not to not on. Hey, look at Benteke now. If anyone's confidence is on the fucking floor.
In his defence, though, it was an idiot.
No, he didn't miss it. And here, but I don't think many footballers deserve a pat on the back from scoring from 12 yards.
Yeah,
it's a fucking job.
I'm with you.
Unless the keeper pulls off an absolute fucking worldie, every professional footballer should score a penalty. That's the way I feel about it.
The thing I never understood the nonsense around the penalty takers at Wembley, because you saw with Lucas, who was on his last legs he had cramp and all sorts, got up, took a penalty, he's out for fucking 4 weeks. Sturridge has a history of muscle injuries. And it's clear, if you go up and strike, after not running, and you got and you go up and strike a ball clean, you're something's going to go, as it showed Lucas. So it doesn't matter. Let him sit down. Henderson was another one. Like, if I'd rather somebody put their hand up and say, I want to take it. And if somebody doesn't fancy it, it's not, I don't know, you can't throw stones at someone for something like that, I don't think. Just get up there and fucking, and fancy yourself.
Yeah, I just don't, like, if your job is, like you say, okay, muscle injury, well, in general, your striker should be forced up. I think if they're fully fit to take a penalty, they should be the first ones.
Unless you've got a fucking incredible penalty taker. Yeah. You know, someone that can just post a stamp it into the top corner 99 times out of 100. You say, fine, he's the penalty taker. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, your striker is meant to be your most clinical striker of all on the pitch. He's meant to be able to put it past the goalkeeper when under pressure. So, yeah. Mm. But look, at the end of it, he took the penalty. He took it very well, and it sets us on the way.
Well, you being a keeper now, because like, De Gea got his hand to it, you're still saying super penalty.
And listen, I've you know, they're the penalties that drive you fucking mad. You know, had you been a half an inch more across, you could have got to it. But at the same time, you recognise this, like, there's so much strength in the strike and the whole lot. It's like you're just not getting it.
You don't get next to goal by the keeper not being near. I know what you mean, but it's, I don't know whether I would have said it was once I seen the head getting sent away.
I know, just briefly touch on the missed chances. We talked about the Coutinho one. The save from Lallana is fucking top notch. You know, the volley?
Yeah.
The half volley that comes across from the right hand side.
He literally, to get
his hands up.
That's what I was saying. People were saying, he was in the right place. His hands were from here and still got up to there. It wasn't as though he had his hands in the air and just, you know, moved them a couple of inches. They were from down and he got them up in the spaces. Like a split second. Unbelievable save.
The stop off Coutinho shot as well. Start of the second half. Yeah. That's fucking top notch.
He just has a habit of, you know, in every game, it's not even, you know, because United aren't great. It's in every game when he's called upon, he makes huge saves at the right times. And that the confidence that must give United, knowing that he's there.
Yeah.
Imagine if you're a centre-back and you know that you've got De Gea behind you. You know what I mean? Even if you have 5 minutes where you're up against it, you switch off, he will invariably get you out of trouble. You know, that's worth 12, 15 points a season.
We're going back to where we are with us again. We've been saying it in our WhatsApp group and everything about how much a good keeper is worth. And you're looking at what De Gea, like, where would United be if they hadn't got him?
Yeah. Where would we be if we hadn't?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? If the roles were reversed and we had him, it's
see, the thing that's mad
crazy
about Mignolet, though, he'll do some utter garbage things, really, really basic shit goalkeeping, and then pull off three worldies. But he'd be perfect for a number two. Do you know what I mean? To play in the fucking the cup competitions or whatever. We just need a commanding. Do you know what I was impressed with? Because I don't watch that much European football. Wolfsburg's keeper.
Yeah.
He was very command. Like, anything that went into the box, I know we're shit at corners and shit at attacking.
Augsburg, you mean?
Augsburg's. Everything that went into that box, you just knew it was the keeper.
He was really good, actually. Everything.
Saying that he looked extremely confident and he was battering, shouldering people. Did they not give him keeper in the Bundesliga last year? They said something in the commentary now that he got in ahead of Neuer.
Just refer to our Bundesliga goalkeeping expert.
Yeah, that's what.
No, and look, if we're shopping for a goalkeeper, if we don't buy a Bundesliga goalkeeper, we're fucking over our heads. Completely over our heads. You know, I'm not going into it, I've said it plenty of times, but look, the level of coaching and all that the German goalkeepers come through is just, you know, it's top of the tree at this moment in time, and that's exactly where we should be going and looking to pick up a goalkeeper. There's so many options there. It doesn't have to be the same names that are being bandied about all the time. You want to go for experience. There's experienced goalkeepers there we can pick up. There's some at Gladbach. You know, there is so many. There's such a choice in that league, with the exception of Neuer, who you won't get. We'd definitely be able to pick up a big upgrade on Mignolet that's there. But look, I know what you're saying, the one thing I wanted to bring around, because I think what's fascinating about this for me was Firmino's finish. Was the finish of a player who's a natural finisher, but also one who's been almost observing the way De Gea has been reacting to shots as the match is going on, because 99 times out of 100, he goes with the opposite foot to try finish the goal across. And that just catches De Gea by surprise. He can't react to the shot. And he lifted as well.
He had a split second as well. I mean, like, and when I say a split second, you mean milliseconds.
Yeah.
Literally, if I had went for another thousandth of a second, the chance was going to disappear. And a little bit of elevation on it, everything was perfect.
Yeah.
What I know is a lot about him is, I know, haven't seen much of him from before, like, not as much as you had, Phil.
Yeah, goalkeepers.
He has that, you know, when you watch a centre forward, like, you know, he reminds, although he can play deeper, he reminds me of an old fashioned number nine. He seems to have that sixth sense to know where to be in the box. It's like something, I know it's a bullshit kind of phrase, but you can't learn it, it's natural, but he just seems to be in the right place at the right time. But not only in the right place at the right time, he seems to have his body shape in the right position for when he's receiving the ball. Now, I know he doesn't score every time, but it seems to be very, very natural to him. Like, that goal is a perfect example. It was just, everything just happened as
it's meant to happen.
Exactly. And at that split second that happened, it's fantastic to watch. You don't see much of it around anymore, you know what I mean?
From the both of them, because Lallana's coolness in the box to keep his composure, and I think he megged it? Yeah. Was it a little poke through the legs, and then Firmino, you know, sharpness of mind to put that where he did. It's been a while since a Liverpool player's got me off my seat, and in two occasions in that game, there was two things. One from Firmino, where he did the Cruyff and sent the two lads the opposite way, and then Lallana, where he kind of did
three of them, didn't he?
Yeah, he did a Cruyff, a shimmy, and then a little flick.
The speed that he'd done that way from doing the drag back was unreal. Watch it in slow motion, even in a GIF, it's fucking something special.
It's unbelievable. And to see them now starting to... I think they believe that they belong at Liverpool now. Mm. You know, and I always say this when we get new players, give them time, give them a season, because it's such a jump in expectation for players to come from, you know, particularly a Southampton, a Hoffenheim. You know, it's a huge, huge jump for these players. Mm. Once they start to get used to the surroundings, get used to the extra pressure, you know, you can't afford to have a bad game in a Liverpool shirt, especially if, God forbid, they fucking read Twitter and all the experts on there ripping and overanalyzing your every move.
Mm. Our podcast.
but finally now you're starting to see them two players come, you know, take the game by the scruff of the neck and believe that you know, Lallana's now scoring goals, getting assists. Firmino, I think, has got the most goals and assists out of anyone in the Premier League.
According to Twitter, ever.
In the history
since
of football.
Since the world started.
Yeah.
More than Messi, although he's 406 goals in 404 games or something like that, Firmino is more. Because he has assists as
Bobby.
Well. Bobby.
Yeah, not call him Bobby. He seems to be wrecking people's heads, so we call him Bobby.
We're sticking with Bobby Firmino. But like, okay, so look, just to wrap it up then, we've mentioned Origi, we've mentioned Alan. Anyone else come on?
Does Lovren ever mention, does he?
Does Lovren deserve mention?
Asian.
Well, we rabbit lyrical about him last week, and in fairness, it was just another continuation on from the performance he put in against Crystal Palace, and Sacco looked a lot more solid against United than he had for a while as well, so... good signs.
Joey Barton's tweet on Sacco was absolutely
brilliant.
You know, it was perfect. It wiped out all that, but he looked so nervy on the ball, and he just summed it up perfectly. You know, every fear you have, and yet you look at his stats and everything else. I love Sacco. I'm a huge fan. Yeah. I never want him out of the team. And
I thought he's been going through a particularly poor run of form, to be honest with you. And I am a fan of Sacco as well, so I'm more than happy to say that I thought it was a much improved performance against United than it had been for a while, and long may it continue, because with Matip coming in, those three are our centre backs next season, and we'll probably bring
I think
Gomez could be huge for us.
I think that's going to be our four next year.
Hopefully Skirtle is sent packing to wherever he came from.
He's let his hair grow and everything, so he's definitely
it's gone now. It's gone again.
For fuck's sake,
must have got a contract.
Good looking lad,
Lego
it. Crichton. It's Crichton at Red Dwarf.
But yeah, Joe Gomez, I think he's got a massive future. I think he's strong, commanding, powerful, good on the ball, athletic. And now, what side does the new lad play? Is he left or right?
Right.
He's right. Mm. You've got genuine competition for places, because Lovren can play either side. He's finally put that fucking nonsense to bed that you can't have a left-sided player playing on the right.
It's ridiculous.
You've got Sacco, who is naturally the most commanding that we have. I still am a little bit unconvinced with some of his decision-making. Personally, you know, I think he's a bit rash at times, but he has all the hallmarks of a proper commanding centre-back. Mm. And then you've got the new lad coming in, and then you've got Gomez. So you've got four good options there, which is
and
nice.
And Gomez will tick the boxes for those that want that ball playing centre half, because he's really, really,
he's really good.
Confident.
He'll also be able to fill in a fullback as well for us, which gives us the, you know, you've heard Klopp talk about squad depth and having enough players. We're in the Europa League next year. I think.
Could be in the Champions League.
Could be in the Champions League. Well, we are going to be in the Champions
League. We're
going
to qualify Champions League twice this year. We're finishing fourth and winning the Europa League.
All we need to do is draw, win.
Andy's train is coming.
Win.
And then that's it. That's Champions League in the bag.
Dortmund look good. You don't want to get them to the final. Like, I fancy us against anyone in the final.
Fancy us against anyone in the final. Fuck
I would.
Off.
I would.
Fuck Dortmund.
Jesus, thanks for that, Phil. It's aggressive.
Fuck me.
I haven't been able to be aggressive in the world. That stupid fucking hosting. Trev!
Trev's
fucking
dead, baby.
Dead prick.
Dead prick.
You're not as bad as a dead prick. Oh,
pricks are bad, but dead pricks are proper pricks.
Puff and puff again. Anyway, look. Let's talk about United again. So we've got the.
I'd rather not.
So second leg coming up, lads. You know what worries us more so. Look, if we replicate what we did against United in the first leg, we definitely have a good chance of what's going to happen. So Neil Miggs.
That's what.
Yeah, he's due one.
It's not even players for me. It's just the game itself. Just don't concede early. And I haven't got a particular player at United now that I'm worried about, or what if he clicks, or what if no.
Should all worry me that
so just don't concede early. That's massive, because I wonder how we cope. The atmosphere is going to be, they're at the getting the green light almost, because UEFA aren't charging them over the chance and stuff, so it's going to be hostile as fuck. And if they get on top of us early and we're to get an early goal, I'd fear that, you know, this run of form and confidence we have isn't there long enough for us to stand up to it. So get through first 15, 20 minutes without conceding. And then I think it'll settle down. And then their fear of us getting an away goal, it'll take over in the game, like, you know.
This is what I love about European ties, because they're going to be caught between two approaches. Like, because they know Liverpool with more space. I always prefer us when we play away from home. I don't know why. I always feel like Anfield is really tight. And the players are on top of each other, and there's not much space. Whereas Old Trafford's a massive pitch, and I always fancy us to score when we go to Old Trafford. The players that we've got can turn very, very quickly and have got pace and ability. So Man United are going to be aware of that, and they know if they overcommit in the first 10, 15, 20 minutes, if we get one, that game is over. They need four goals, and they're not going to get four goals.
We haven't played them at full strength either. Like you say, it was Benteke up front, wasn't it? In the away fixture in the Premier League. Great goal. But you know, like you say, we're a totally different animal this time round. We've got the boys up front, and it will give them a fucking good test. You know,
it'd be good to see. Now, this is the type of game now where you really want to see Henderson come into his own. We need leaders out there. It's, as you said, it's going to be hostile. It's a massive occasion, and if the younger lads, and you know, led by the likes of Henderson, if Chan can keep being his imposing self, and they can come away from this with a win, the confidence that's going to give us in being able to handle big game situations and come through, you know, it can really kick us on to the next level. You know,
yeah.
Talking about Emre Can, the battle between him and Fellaini is going to be tasty, isn't it?
Yeah.
I will say, look, Fellaini, it baffles me how that fucker never always sees 90 minutes and rarely ever sees a red card, because he is one scaldy, scabby bastard.
He's a horrible cunt of a player. I hate everything about him.
I quite like him.
You remember years
I
back,
respect him for the fact that he gets away with it. I like Costa.
Years ago, players used to have reputations, and you always hear commentators talking about, look, his reputation went before me, seeing him sliding in for the like, everyone knows what he's at the whole game, yet he doesn't see the fruits of his labour with cards. he doesn't. Every other fucking old player from the he's a dirty cunt. And sure enough, his first bit of a nudge, the ref was over like a shot. And
dirty country.
Yeah, that's a country.
You gotta know.
I like Fellaini though. I like that he's carrying that whole team and all, and it doesn't bother him, and he just gets on with it and he keeps going and he annoys the fuck out.
The reason why I find him comical is because he doesn't bring anything to the game, right? Bar a diagonal ball to his head.
He's deadly at it, though.
But that's it. Take that away, and it's just niggly fouls and dirtiness, right? And diagonal balls to his head.
Well, I tell you, if you listen to Klopp's post-match press conferences, he mentioned Fellaini maybe 20 fucking times over the course of the three interviews I listened to. He said, because we were trying, when before the match, and they were preparing for it, particularly for Fellaini.
That'd be hair growing in.
Smack.
All you were missing was the random laugh.
You do that thing. It's your bit.
Yeah.
The random stupid laugh.
Kill hyena.
Fucking hell, this is pathetic.
Come on, Jorgen Gray.
No, it doesn't matter.
He got dead, man.
But listen, what I was saying was, is it a tree, pricks?
All right.
That's all I've got to say.
They get me killed.
Yeah, no, I think what I thought, well, Klopp did identify him as being
the main
threat.
He's their only threat.
Yeah, exactly.
And until the final whistle blew, he was their only threat, and he still maintains that, and he's going to be their main threat again on Thursday night. And if they get that diagonal ball, if they get enough possession and they get that diagonal ball thing right, the way we are, because our goalkeeper is particularly bad, and the two centre-halves confidence, like you were saying earlier on, isn't fucking great. So if he drops a ball, literally, if he drops the ball in the first 5 or 10 minutes, the whole thing can fall apart.
Isn't that what Emery Chan was marshalled to do? In terms of, as soon as he came near our box for those diagonal balls, Chan was the one that was going and poleaxing him.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with Fellaini. United haven't got Ferdinand touched on it after the game. Now, I think Fellaini is shit, but I think he can be really, really effective if used right. And lob him up top, pump the ball into him. Mm. If he doesn't win the first ball, there's a good chance. Or if he wins the first ball, then you've got to get the pieces, right? So Liverpool have either got to go and attack and win the ball, which invariably they're not going to do. So then you've got to get the pieces. Now, United, because of the way that United play, you know, they want free-flowing, fast attacking football. Mm. You know, they won't put Fellaini where he's best.
Meant to be, yeah.
So, and Ferdinand was like, why are you putting him in centre midfield like he's a ball-playing centre midfielder? He's fucking shit. Like, why are you doing that? Mm. If you're going to play him up top, and if they played him up top, he would cause us fucking nightmares. Mm. He really would.
Do you know what springs to mind immediately is the winner that West Ham got in the last couple of minutes? Was it the FA Cup?
Against us?
Yeah. It was that diagonal ball into the box, and we're really bad at defending them. Really, really bad at it.
Yeah.
So that's what the point I was making. If they do decide to play to his strengths, that's the way I could see the tie turning.
Yeah. Well, we're actually been talking about Liverpool's confidence earlier on, and is it building and all. Like, I think if they go a goal down, they're on the floor and they're there for... Do you want to sing some Kenny Rogers?
I'm going to sing a bit of Kenny Rogers. No, Kenny Rogers songs.
No, a few Chris Christophersons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you fucking
do,
you
freak. But on that, though, looking at how we're going to win the game, and on that basis, do we start, and echoing Jay's point from earlier on, do we start Origi for the pure, given that they're more, they have to come with us, they're 2-0 down, they have to score?
Well, I wouldn't, I'd echo that one on what Jay was saying, it'd be definitely Firmino or Origi up front for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd go with Origi, with the three lads, the same three lads in behind, so Coutinho, Firmino and Lallana in behind. And then if you think bringing Sturridge on for the last 20 minutes when the teams are tiring, there's going to be more space for him, and you think, you know, he'd take a chance if he gets it. I just think Origi is going to occupy their defenders a hell of a lot more than Sturridge would, and that allows them to be
penned
back.
They really don't look comfortable with it at all. You know, you have anyone sort of chasing them down, and they don't have that old United assuredness where, you know, they're playing out from the back, and it's basically, it's gone from them, you know. So I definitely, Origi for me, maybe.
Mm. Any other changes in the back line?
I don't know. I don't know. Our team selection, it's a tricky one, because they're not going to be as bad as they were again. Not a hope of it. Because he done some mad things playing kids left back and crazy shit. I don't even know their names because it's irrelevant, because it's United and I don't care. But like, some of the formation was ridiculous, and bringing Carrick on centre half and all, it was a mad thing to do when they were under so much pressure. I couldn't really get my head around it. So they're not going to be as bad as they were again, that is for sure. And we're not going to perform to that same high level we did again. It's impossible to do that 2 games in a row, I think. So it's going to be a much closer game. But I really do fancy us to score. And once we score, the tie is over. So I'm not really that worried about it in reality. Because I do fancy us to score.
Even if we go a couple down, I still fancy us to score.
Yeah, we just need to nick one, don't we? You know what I mean?
They're not good enough to keep us at bay for the full 90 minutes. And by that, I mean, give us clear-cut chances. Whether De Gea saves them all or not, that's a different matter. But we will get clear-cut chances.
I see
that
happening. I just don't want it, Jay. I don't think me
nerves to be able to take it. Isn't that the argument for Sturridge, though? Isn't it that if we are going to get clear-cut chances, you want him there?
Yeah.
Because he's the man to put them away. You know what I mean? So,
you're talking one-on-ones or a chance. Someone, him going into the box with the ball at his feet, there's no one I'd rather be.
Mm.
No one you'd rather have, should I say. But definitely just the pace is huge. And Firmino as the false nine or playing properly as a striker, it'd be the way for me.
I hate that term, false nine.
Yeah, well, no, sorry about
that. Do you know what I mean? I really do. It's such a wanky thing to say.
I didn't fucking admit it, did I?
No, I know.
Fuck's sake, I'm getting it from all angles here, you gang of pricks.
I'm not saying you, but you hear people saying that, yeah, he's playing in the false nine position. That doesn't fucking mean anything. What's a false nine? Eight?
Well, a false nine is someone that basically isn't up sitting where
it is. No, I know, I understand. Oh, right. I understand.
Trevor Francis can't deal with that.
I understand, I can't deal with
Trevor Francis. Neil can't deal with it. Trevor Francis can't deal with it.
No, I fucking hate
it. I told you, false
nines. Neil is the Trevor Francis of the fucking group, right? And look at it. He can't deal with the false nine. Trevor Francis can't. They need a player up front there.
I can't deal with the terminology. It just drives me fucking mad.
What would you call him?
It's like something. It doesn't matter.
9.5
Oh, it's not. He's a fucking forward. Just leave it at that. For fuck's sake, complicating it.
And after that in-depth tactical analysis,
the tactics are with Neil Gray.
He's a fucking forward.
We move on to XG and heat maps.
How
many XG do you reckon we're getting at the weekend?
I have no idea.
I don't know what that means.
Just let me get me pressing stats out here.
It's deadly, isn't it? When I just see that shit under it, I think I have no idea what that means. And whoever put that up there is a prick. A massive prick. It's just like I was seeing on Twitter the other day, right? I was just thinking of a thing on the way down here in the car. I was thinking, who wanker of the week? Who could it be? Right?
Do we still do wanker of the week?
No, we're doing it now. And I was just thinking, somebody said they don't rate Zidane. And I just thought, anything you say from this point on now is irrelevant to anyone in the rest of the world.
What overrated. Did they give grounds to?
Someone said, who's your favourite player ever?
He was great to look at, but he was overrated.
Some guy said Zidane. overrated him. I was saying, you fucking wanker.
Overrated. Zinedine Zidane was overrated.
Just deactivate your Twitter.
Possibly the most technically complete footballer I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Overrated him. I just thought, you fucking wankster.
And on that friendly notion, Kenny, who do you reckon? What do we win?
We'll go through.
Okay. That'll do me. Nilo?
Yeah, we'll beat them.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to hazard a guess at the score?
No, because I think. No. I think we'll win the match and the tie.
Okay. Jay?
I think we'll win 3-1.
Get your paddy power out. Someone ring them up.
If I put a bet on it, we'll lose.
If you log on to Paddy Power, you can actually go live cam with Damo to pass on your tips. Live from Damo's own.
Smoking with a load of slips in his hand. Yeah.
Watching horse races that nobody else is. Tweeting things that nobody's paid attention to.
Tweet. I have a few quid on this Mexican quarterfinal in their cup. Say, what the fuck? That's not even a team, Damo. Doesn't matter, I've got a tenner on it.
That was played 2 weeks ago.
Coming up on Twitter is AVI, and you say, I wonder what Damo says, and you get to win, and such and such two lengths, and it looks like he held her back there coming around. And oh, go and ask me, bollocks. Fuck's sake.
Talking about me, mate in work's got a bet on that if Leicester win the league and Burnley get promoted, he wins 60 grand.
No way.
60 fucking grand. Way. Can you believe that? I can't believe
he put the bet on.
Oh, he's another one though, like he'd be betting in on fucking tiddlywinks in South Korea.
We talked to a young fella and he was only banned 20 odd there a couple of weeks ago.
What's that?
Banned.
It's a massive tiddlywink scandal there a few years ago. I'll never forget.
Huh? Betting syndicates and everything. If you'd waited tiddlywinks, you should have seen the fucking scandal came out of it. Lads there, fucking special pickies and everything hit them into the cup.
Special pickies.
It's very technical
term.
Fascinating stuff.
Fucking massive stuff it was.
Fascinating stuff.
South Korea.
Hey, BBC are looking for us.
What?
Go on.
Oh, good luck. All right then, so
just never call me again.
That's the United game done. Southampton. I don't even know who plays for Southampton anymore. I assume it's the same lads as before.
Ran our Q-man centre half, isn't he?
Yeah.
They had Pella and Long playing up front there against Stoke. I watched a bit of it there last week, was it?
That was long down since we nearly signed him.
Same.
Just
runs. But they had a great chance to go 3-0 up, and your man, I can't think of his name, the winger,
Tadic,
made an arse of it, basically, to make the game really comfy for them. And Stoke got a scaldy one then to get back into it.
How much does the United result impact on the game at the weekend?
Not so much the result, but I wonder what my takeout was, depending on how the game goes. If we score early, it could be a walk in the park, and the players won't be putting 90% in. If we're under the cosh and we have to give it the famous 110% for 80 odd minutes and put our bodies on the line, then we might struggle a little bit come the weekend.
Okay.
To be honest, I think it's just good. I'm just looking forward to watching Liverpool games again, to be honest. It makes a big difference. Yeah. I think that the lads have all bought into what Klopp's trying to do. They seem to be enjoying the football. I think the United game, I think we will beat United comfortably, and then we're in with a real shout of a late push for top four, and just bring on the games. And as I said, we've got options now. It's not like you're going into a game knowing the exact 11. We can freshen things up. We can give all the lads a go. We can try two up top. There's lots of different options that we can do. I don't think it impacts.
You're saying does it impact? I think if we win on Thursday and we win the tie, well, I'd say Sunday fatigue doesn't come into it then, because everybody's just absolutely buzzing, isn't it? Because we're going to win the UEFA Cup, the UEFA Cup, and we're going to finish fourth in the league, and then we're going to win the league next year. That's the mentality that obviously just, I know it's a stupid thing to say, but that's the way people, your thought process.
Well, I'll tell you what, right?
If
Leicester win the league and we somehow manage to win the Europa League and finish fourth, right? if the complete momentum bandwagon that's going to build with the expectation that we can then go and win the league the following season with Klopp and at the helm,
and God knows who's coming in the summer to add to that, to store that up even more.
Yeah, the pressure on him will be huge. Mm. Let's be honest about it. What I mean? Even before ball is kicked for next season,
he's had his free pass for the season now. In all fairness, do you know what I mean?
The top four expectations are going to be huge anyway, right?
Yeah. I'm giving him another free pass because I'm in love with him.
I know.
I'm giving him about 10 years free pass. I know you're not, Neil. I know you're not. But I just love him.
10 more years, please.
I think he's a bit premature doing the Opel adverts and all that. Kind of. Wait till you win something for us, mate, before you put your motion on the telly. Because, say we get beaten on Thursday and we're knocked out, right? And the first thing after the match is that prick in a Vectra.
Yeah.
You're going to be dead. Oh, wanker! Wanker, it's all his fault. Well,
to be fair, though, he looked a lot cooler than fucking Rodgers in that documentary.
Imagine Rodgers is bouncing a Beatle. A 1978 Beatle, I clapped out and all. Yeah. You want to buy one of these fucking things?
Little Tyrannosaurus Rex arms.
This car's got character.
Wouldn't indicate for his love.
Mad wig, purple lips.
Oh, fucking hell around the boat again.
Car's got character. Buy the car. Yeah. Technical ability.
Do you think
outstanding?
There's been a lot made of the money.
Billy Bingham Day.
There's been a lot made of the money that Klopp could get in the summer. From experience, because I didn't really follow his career massively, other than obviously Dortmund's success. But in terms of the transfer markets, he doesn't really buy big, does he? He doesn't tend to start throwing the money around. He's more savvy than that.
They bought relatively big for the German markets.
I was just going to say,
they've got the second biggest budget over there. Hmm. The second biggest club behind Bayern.
He'd never had the money that he's going to have with us now in this summer.
No, but in relative terms, he wouldn't have had the number of teams that have more money to spend ahead of him outside of the time when he was at Mainz. Where he was managing a mid-table side.
But do you think we'd be going and spending 35 million on a Gotze? Do you know what I mean?
It wouldn't surprise me if you did. Really? Because they went out and splashed a big transfer fee in Aubameyang. I think it was 16 million or 18 million euro at the time, which is a big fee. Mm. They spent relatively big on Mkhitaryan as well when he was there. I would say he's probably looking at shopping in the exact same market. So where they were big signings for Bayern, they will be run-of-the-mill signings. When I say run-of-the-mill, they'll be run-of-the-mill transfer fees that we'd be expecting to pay for players.
Okay.
That's where I think, being linked with the likes of Zielinski, the Goya, I think it's Udinese, not Udinese, it's Brescia, the Polish midfielder. Mm. Signings like that are the ones that I'm sort of saying, that makes sense. Mm. Not the Oxlade-Chamberlains. I'm not talking about the player, but I'm just talking about the actual type of player that he's looking to
That's the old Liverpool that this, me seeing Klopp coming in, that I wanted to stop. That's the signings that the Ox talk even is, for me now, is fucking, that's going back five steps on the old transfer.
It's interesting you say that, though, that he's not afraid to spend big. I know you're saying comparatively, in England, comparatively, it's not because I always got the I suppose, listen, I'm only going on what I'm hearing, and the worst thing about getting your knowledge on Twitter is it's usually bullshit. back in the day, isn't it? Where did you hear? I heard that in the bubs. As soon as you hear that, someone listen, that's
they built. Bother. They built towards spending the money they spent. So it was when he started off. They finished sixth or seventh. It was that year in his fourth season, right? So he didn't go out and spend 20 or 30 million, relatively speaking, on a player. Then they bought within what would have been, say, fourth and fifth sort of sized budget,
and then
achieved second in the league, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay.
And then gradually built, and it was only in the last season or the year beforehand that they spent bigger money in terms of what was coming in. But at the same time, don't forget, he's selling Götze at the time for 25 million to Bayern Munich. He's selling, Lewandowski went on a free in the end to Bayern Munich. They sell Kagawa to United for whatever the fee was. I think it was 16 million or something, which would have been about 18, 19 million euro in terms of what it was. And they were sort of, that money that was being spent was the money that they were then going to use to reinvest and spend on the team. So if you're talking about a business model in terms of how Dortmund operated, it would be very similar to how you would imagine and how Liverpool have operated over the last couple of years, where they've nearly always sold one big player in the summer. And that money has gone then in as part of the transfer kitty that's going on, and it's been looked to reinvest and find another player to replace that player and bring in another couple who could potentially be big.
So. Yeah.
See, I think that's the thing now. When I look at our squad, we've got a lot of good squad players. I actually think we've got a solid enough squad when everybody's fit. We just need 3 to 4 top quality starting players now, and they don't come cheap. Nope. So that's where it's sort of boils down. I think what's been good and refreshing is Klopp basically said, give me a season with these players. I'm not in a rush to sign anybody. Let me learn about these players. Let me see them in the worst moments. Let me see them in the best moments. And then I can make an informed judgment rather than panic buying straight away. Mm. Let's use a January transfer market to plug some gaps. He said, no, give me time. Let me try and develop these players. He's not afraid to invest in his players. And then he's in a great position.
It's the complete opposite to the way clubs are operating at the minute, generally in the Premier League, isn't it? Like, when a manager can say, give him a heap of money and he'll sort it out.
Well, look, and where we were in January, and allegedly anyway, was him pulled the plug on the Teixeira deal. Mm-hmm. He turned around and says, right, that's way too much. That's way too much. Yeah, exactly. So I want the lad, but not that much. So.
And I think the difference is now, whereas other managers wouldn't be afforded the time, and everything's, you know, it's a results business, and, you know, everything is amplified when it comes to football clubs. Everybody knows that we're in safe hands here. So if this guy doesn't get it right, there's not many that would come in and do a better job, you would think, because he's one of the best managers in Europe. So let him have the time to assess the squad, and then whoever he goes out and buys, let's just back him because he's made an educated assessment of the squad, and let's see where he can take.
What was really impressive for me was the fact that, like, around Christmas time, teams weren't going great at all, and when he came in, he said everybody's going to be assessed for this season, and he did give everybody. There was no panic, because I'm sure there was 50 million there. If he had a push, well, they were going 35 for text two, weren't they?
Yeah.
So if he had a push, there was 50 or 60 million there to reinforce the squad. He didn't, and I think the fact he didn't do that, that's why you see players come and go now, because, I mean, they have the confidence of the manager, isn't it? Do you know? It's really impressive.
Okay, that was a good analysis of the Southampton game. Well done, lads.
Is that what we were doing?
Yeah, definitely.
So,
you got no way.
All right, then. So then we beat Southampton as well.
I am Lou Schwarey. You are listening to Trippers Chat.
Right, Trippers Chats coming up. So, first one up is Alex Barilero. Alex Barilero, it's a lovely sound, isn't it? Almost like a
woman. Oh, I think he pronounced it.
Oh, well.
Mind your head there, Ray.
Wasn't there a song? But no.
Well, he asks.
It's a weekend blazer. Sorry. I'm singing Kenny Rogers again. Baila more.
Nowhere with you. Will you hear a link from Kenny Rogers into Julio Iglesias?
Julio Iglesias, you are old.
Oh, motherfucker, I've just bit my lip. Anyway, the bleeding as well. Fucking bastard, stupid chino. The one material thing you couldn't give up for a month, he asks. Right.
Fallon, definitely.
I'm trying to give up the smokes at the minute, and it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. When you say trying, have you actually given them up, or are you just considering?
That's always when we're trying to give up the smokes. Have you got smoke in your pocket? Yeah. So it's in your head that you want to give up.
I was sorry, I'm dying for a smoke, actually. I do really want to give them up, but I fucking can't. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I've given up stronger substances in my life. And then I can't kick these guns.
I know, yeah.
It's a fucking nightmare.
Materialistic, though. TV. Yeah, Nilo's boxes.
Ah, how could I let Nilo's satellite services? Email me.
Jay.
My phone or coffee? Or my slippers. I'm a big fan of my slippers at the minute.
Singing Kenny Rogers in slippers. Getting old now. Real inside of your life now.
Give me a nice glass of red wine. Put a bit
any
of
particular type of slippers? Because I had to send Nikki back there with ones she got me. I don't like the ones with no backing.
Oh, they've got to have back. Yeah,
I nearly killed myself about six times going up and down
slippers
the stairs.
You have back.
Yeah. If you've got to take the rubbish out and then your slipper comes off.
That's where we're at.
Come here, you know the way slippers if they haven't got a back on the right. You know the way I have a limp, right? If there's no back on them, when my left foot goes to take a step, the slipper fucking flies. Because I didn't know that, right? And I was going away on holidays one year, and I said I'd get myself a pair of flip flops, right? So I can't wait to try these new bad boys out. There was only one step for them, flip the shoe and fly about 15 feet. Yeah, so backs and shoes without backs, I have to wear a sling back.
I just strapped up in their Crocs.
Like Roman yokes with the laces all the way up around their shins.
I'm not going to beat that one.
They're wrestling boots, yeah.
I was heading down the beach in my wrestling boots and my mask.
How the fuck did the Romans do this shit?
Before a fight. 4 hours. Hang on a second, lads. We're not ready yet. We're doing up our boots.
Lilo's putting his boots on.
Right, Garrett asks, if you could cast Trev in one movie, what would it be?
Castaway.
Mine would be...
The Walking Dead?
Yeah. Weekend at Bernie's.
Pulling the strings and Trev's hand going up and down.
How's things going, Trev?
Yeah, who would you get to do his voice, though?
What?
David Attenborough.
Attenborough. What's your man's name that does Darth Vader? James
Earl Jones.
You can see him doing a wildlife show, can't you? The voice, serenading in the background.
You could have, when he was alive.
From the grave.
Live from the grave with David Attenborough.
He could do about extinct animals. Nav and Axon talking about the dodo and all.
The dodo. Right, Scoop Vines Official asks, if your flute were the shape of an actual instrument, which would it be?
What type of musical instrument? Like,
yeah, obviously, yeah.
Ooh.
Well, it's a flute.
Is he talking about a Mickey there?
I don't know. It could be just a flute.
No, it's
because Matt, you ever see the show The Raccoons?
Yours is the shape of a raccoon.
You know Cyril Sneer?
I think you have a fucking...
Did you want to get that look?
Cyril Sneer.
I remember. Yeah.
Cyril Sneer. The lads in uni used to call me Cyril.
Right.
Why?
You know, that's a question.
You don't even tell the lads in uni.
It's like you'd go in the shower after the footy match and they'd see me cock, like.
On your nose. It's impressive.
And if I don't, that was nearly at right angle, that thing from that character.
Oh, yeah, can shag round corners like.
Right. Some Matt doesn't even know what it is. What's that?
I have no idea. It looks like some type of raccoon.
That me? You're
next, coming around the corner like a periscope. looking for a fat guy.
Cuba.
I don't know where to go after that.
For Jay's bendy flu.
Right,
what is it?
All right then, yeah. This one's from Warple
Man. DM.
Yeah. This was sent to us by DM. So Neil Devlin, just so we know who it is that's asking this question, he's at Warple Man on Twitter. He wants to know, both your mother and your girlfriend / wife or significant other switch bodies, and the only way to undo it is to fuck one of them. Which do you screw?
I'll get this ball running my man's head, so definitely.
So definitely it's, not so my it's body. Actually my missus, but she's got my mum's body.
Yeah.
Or it's me mum with me missus body.
Same thing.
You'd have to be back.
Oh, look, you're about to go there.
I'm not saying anything.
I definitely ride me, man.
Stop myself. There's a shock in your face. You're like, don't commit to this shit.
You freak.
Divorce.
Anyway.
Celibacy, definitely.
Yeah.
No matter which way you go there, it's fucking wrong, isn't it?
Wrong levels.
Yeah. But does the face change? It's just the body.
They swap, but no, the face change. You're basically doing.
So you're basically banging your mum.
Yeah.
If you're going,
isn't it?
That is way too quick.
Yeah, you're going to go.
Whatever way you go, you're doing it with your mum.
No, well, listen. Yeah, see.
Yeah, no matter what you do, you're banging your mum. Hopefully, Ma doesn't listen to this.
I hope she doesn't either.
Mine's not.
She's here to do it with Trev.
Right, last question, and it is given that we won't see us all until Easter week next week, or hear from us until Easter week next week. Question is, and there's two actually, because they're related. Who's not getting drunk on Thursday?
Well, listen, I definitely will.
Right, and then following on from that, which is your least favourite holiday of the year, seeing as it's coming up to Paddy's Day, which is Stephen Amon's least favourite?
Well, to just clarify things, I will be getting drunk on Thursday.
Will you?
There won't be a performance of last Wednesday's Carry On.
I will not be drinking on Thursday, I can say that categorically.
My drinking will be saved for the match. No interest in doing the Paddy's Day time drinking, but I will be having drinks.
You on the Bills or for a Raymond?
No, because it's a horrible, horrible atmosphere to be surrounded by Manx in a pub. Yeah, it really is horrible. I don't like it. It can get rowdy.
Jay, are you adopting your Irishness?
I haven't been on the booze for a while, actually. I think I might break that for the United game.
Yeah, you look better.
Yeah, get involved.
Be interesting, won't it?
No drink, no wine o'clock for Mr. Casey.
No wine o'clock. It hasn't been 1 o'clock for now. There's none. None before the weekend, thanks to a small dose of cystitis. So
okay, but you seem to find some rum.
What?
You found some rum that was recently.
Hold on, we can't just... Whoa.
Is this all right?
No, it's not all right. You had some what? This, you had koala bears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's chlamydia.
Okay, so what's wrong with you?
His boyfriend had
a kidney infection.
Sipped you to a bout of cystitis, is this
what? I was just throwing a big word.
Okay, that's all right. That can make you go blind, that you.
Well, kidney infection?
Mm-hmm.
No,
that's wanking.
Yeah.
With cystitis on the top of it. You get that in your eye, you're bollocks. Yeah, was literally all cystitis, like. That fella's fucking has that cystitis, like. Look
at him. He's always got cystitis, like. Dirty bastard. Look at him. Look at him there. You know he's got a cystitis, like.
Cystitis, like. Wank him in, yeah, but it's cold.
No, so I won't be drinking up, how do you say?
I'll get it in for most of us, lads. I'll cover that.
What's your least favourite holiday day?
A Good Friday's a bag issue.
Yeah.
It's an absolute waste of time.
It's just give you booze, like.
It's only one night, but when
your social calendar, as it tends to be, let's face it, we play up the stereotypes. Your social calendar tends to be surrounded by the pubs living in Ireland. So when they give you a day off work and they give you fucking time off and everyone you know is off.
Right, I can't help looking at you at this moment of time. I'm going to be honest with you, right? You are straight out of like Home Star more in the States. It's like, it's phenomenal. The beard, the baseball hat, the check shirt. You literally should be walking out to a pickup truck now and heading off.
Seeing Paddy Mills shooting a load of kids.
No.
All right, sorry, is that not what you do?
Raccoons.
Oh, raccoons. Yeah. Keep your flute in,
Jay. Don't want to be going pissing up the mountains tonight. Ray is on the fucking rampage. He is. He's all about hunting. Paul. Country music on. Pickup truck outside. Yeah, rifles in the back.
I'm going to feel shit getting into a Renault Megane now.
Just won't have the same
effect. Just open the bill, right? Pretend it's a pickup.
Just wait to get into a fucking 24 litre Dodge Ram out there with antlers and shit hanging off it. And I get into a fucking two-door fucking Megane.
Fucking antlers hanging off it. I'm going out hunting.
Mr. T.
Yeah. Do you know what the thing about Good Friday is as well? Not only the pubs have closed, it fucks up your Thursday as well. Because the pubs stop serving at 12 o'clock.
Do you know how bad it was, though? I used to get the train.
We
were going to say the train, and there was people out my way used to just get in the boat and go to Holyhead just on Good Friday.
I used to get the train on Good Friday, yeah.
Anyone who wants a pleasurable experience, there's a boat on the canal. And you can have a restaurant, and you can have a meal and a drink on Good Friday because you're allowed to serve alcohol in the waterways of Ireland.
Really, now?
Yeah. Wow, there you go.
What's it called, Phil?
It's called the boat.
The one that's up off Bagger Street there.
La Pernicerie, in a sense. Yeah. That does trips up and down the canal, so you can drink all day long if you want. And if you just buy a rail ticket, you're free to use the bar facilities in any of the railway stations.
That's right, yeah. You don't even have to get the train. Well,
I
was only 15, Phil, so I was safer on the train,
fair enough. You can drink in the airport because you're travelling. As well.
And hotels.
Mm. So book yourself into a hotel on Good Friday and you can have a few drinks as well. So anyone out there who wants to drink responsibly.
Any other shit holidays then, is there? It is just Good Friday because you can't gargle. I can't think of any others.
I'm not a fan of New Year's Eve.
Not a fan of the summer myself.
Said that.
It's always a letdown if you go out. If you I gave up
about 2 or 3 years ago. Just now fucking way. At the time I was driving taxi, had 59 mates driving taxis and still had the disgusting fucking 3 hours freezing your bollocks off trying to get home and walking halfway up to Phoenix Park trying to get a fucking taxi.
Do you know what pissed me off? Easter Sunday, they closed the supermarkets as well. So anyone that's planning to do their shopping, there won't be any supermarkets open on Easter Sunday.
Wow, that is incredibly boring.
That annoys the fuck out of me.
I didn't know that happened even.
Yeah, so don't get caught out.
It's something new.
No, it always happens. I got caught loads of time.
Consumer tips now, really? Really?
Listen, we've been talking slippers.
And back to you, Anne.
Raccoon now.
I'm just hoping my cystitis clears up.
Right, we're done.
That's a
on a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere.
Country admin boys.
With a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep.
So y'all get down here to the Astro Park, www.astro.ie, for all your football needs. Dad'll look after you.
He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading."
Still waiting to hear from you, Heineken guys. Send us on a crate of free beer, and we'll keep plugging you on the pod.
By the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying,
tonight's pod's been brought to you in association with gambling, raccoons, and everything else you just heard, including cystitis.
So I handed him my.
Ah, come on, Kenny, would you ever get on with the chorus?
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Your day trippers tonight were indeed Kenny Rogers, Ray Brady, Neil Gray, the Jurgen Klopp of the crew, and of course, Jay Holm, all the way from Liverpool via the day trippers bunker. And me, Phil. Good night. God bless.
Fucking hell.
It's raining. I didn't buy any. I knew Ray brings them. He's after doing 3E in the car on the way over. I'm wondering.
Just for 3. Yeah. 220 down one.
And 2 speedballs coming up the stairs to keep me awake.
Speedballs. They still make them.
I'll skill that. And an acid.
2 speedballs. I might grow that in an ear. I don't know how.
Lovely.
Yeah. Southampton on Sunday.
To be all disappointed, there's no funny cunts in tonight, so.
You just fall apart, bastards.
All right, then.
What about you?
Yeah.
Don't you look at
yeah, yeah, get your blade and put your balls out on the table there, fucking Casey. Come on.
I will plead a fifth on this one.
Due to some legal wrangling.
I don't know what to deal with.